Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, you're welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you till 10 o'clock. We have a busy show coming up. John Giles in studio from 7:30. After 8 o'clock, we'll hear from Derek Daly, former Formula One driver, has had a pretty incredible life. He will talk to us about that after 8 o'clock. Kevin Cassidy on the line, looking ahead to the All-Ireland final replay. And then on the football show, we'll hear from two Irish centre-halves, Shane Duffy, and also from Conor Masterson, very much part of Stephen Kenny's under 21 side. Kieran Cunningham, chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star, is in studio, as is Richie McCormack. How are we?
How are you now? Good.
Exclusive on the back of the Irish Daily Star, proper journalism from Kieran Cunningham.
I have exclusives every day.
Galway are lining up.
First in 27 years.
You're first in 27 years. What was the last one?
I've been there 27 years.
What was the last one?
I can't remember.
Okay, that's not a good sign.
No, I honestly don't. I wouldn't be as.
1992, John Byrne started against Turkey.
You're not
John Giles to debut against Sweden.
That was your last exclusive.
He was 17. That was my last exclusive.
Galway are lining up a shock move for Davy Fitzgerald as their new manager. His three-year term came to an end following Wexford defeat to Tipperary. Paul Galvin ratified as new football manager, but it's emerged that Galway are keen to coax Fitzgerald on board as Micheál Donoghue's successor. Fitzgerald has a strong relationship with Joe Canning, who he coached at UL, and the Galway talisman has gone public on his respect for the Clareman. The Galway job would be attractive, of course, because of its proximity to Fitzgerald's home in Six Mile Bridge. There give us more.
It's all there.
No, give us more.
Well, it's not a flyer.
Who's your source?
I can't tell you that.
Go on.
It's not a flyer, but I don't see the point in flyers. No, there is substance to it. It's well, how it pans out now. Like, I think Davy's time with Wexford is over.
Oh, really?
It's now up to him. It's coming down now to what his next step will be, because the Clare situation could be up in the air as well, you know, with one of the management team leaving, or the joint managers. So, like the Galway job, if you're looking at the possible jobs that are around at the moment, well, there aren't many vacancies at the moment, but the Galway job is very attractive. You know, it's been two of the last three All-Irelands. They have a lot of very good players. It is the travel to Wexford from Clare was a grueler for him for 3 years. And he might well think you got a Leinster title at Wexford, which is a great achievement coming from where they came. But that maybe that's as far as it can go. But you can win in All Ireland with Galway. Why Galway would be interested in Davy is Davy has won Munsters with Clare. Munsters with Waterford, and All Ireland with Clare, a Leinster with Wexford. And so he has a serious track record wherever he goes. And Louis Mulqueen would probably come in as trainer. Louis was with Davy and Clare before, and he was with Gerald Nan in Galway in the past. You know, he'd be a very well-regarded trainer. And he's working at the moment at the Liam Mellows Club in Galway, Louis Mulqueen. So it's one, watch this space. I think it could pan out.
It's pretty fascinating in a number of ways, because I've met a couple of Wexford hurlers over the last few weeks who said they had gone on their pilgrimage up to Davy's home house. I think they managed to put it in as part of a team outing and a team bonding session, and had a few drinks somewhere close by, and called in on Davy and had the chat. And certainly their feeling was that Davy would come back for another year.
Yeah. No, my understanding is 3 years. He agreed to 3 year terms. A 3 year term, the 3 years is up, and that's it with him. And it's whether the decision now is whether he takes a break or whether he does. I think there is an interest there from Galway, and there's an interest in Davy's side. Like, he's had health problems, etc. And Davy has been involved in inter-county hurling, I think, since, is it 92 non-stop or 89 non-stop? I can't remember. But, like, it's an incredible run from player straight into management. And even the way he took the Waterford job, like, if you remember, he came in, the championship had already started, and he was parachuted in. You know, there was a move against Justin McCarthy.
And this would be different.
He took him to the All-Ireland final that year. Yeah.
This would be a different role, though, for Davy, in that all those other counties he's gone into have been, he's the saviour. Whereas actually Galway, he's going in, and there's an expectation in Galway that they will win the All-Ireland next year, and anything else is
failure.
And
that was there when Lotnan went there. Mm. You know, when Lotnan went, because Lotnan hadn't put a foot wrong in when he was at Clare, and he went into Galway, and it was a very different challenge. It had been a long time since they won All-Ireland. It didn't work out for him, and it probably damaged his reputation a little bit. So Davy would be taking that risk. But at the same time, Dublin knocked Galway out this year. So, you know, Galway have were coming
but
from
it was incredibly
low
tight.
Ebb. Yeah, it was incredibly tight. It was a brilliant game. It was one of the best nights of the whole championship. I was at it. It was an incredible night. But
considering the way that Micheál Donoghue left, though,
yeah,
and all the stories surrounding that, he must be looking on at this thinking, well, if they can get Davy Fitzgerald in and his backroom staff, why wouldn't they give him what he seemed to want?
But I think there's a significant difference in there that Davy is brilliant at fundraising. A lot of managers are wanting that on themselves, or it's hard to take all of it. Yeah, but he's a great networker. He'll get people, you know, you look at the people he's dealt with in different counties, if he takes that job, it would be an incredibly professional setup with a lot of money spent on, because he's able to get the money. The county board or the hurling board mightn't think they have the money, but Davy will find ways of persuading people to open their wallets. He does that.
Don't do yourselves down, lads. Kieran isn't the only one doing real journalism. I distinctly remember your chat about how cool the Bulls jersey was, says Clem.
And it was, and is.
You don't get it anywhere else, do you?
Nope.
Was Davy a columnist in The Star at one stage?
He was a few years ago, yeah. No, we don't. The only contact you have with Davy is to ring it up, complaining about stuff. But Nan doesn't tell you anything.
We'll get it by the end.
No, you won't.
Dalo's another name in the frame for Galway, I heard too.
Dalo's in the name for everything, isn't he?
Yeah, but you look around, like Cody's tied up, right? Cody's not going anywhere anyway. No, Liam Sheedy's tied up. Liam Sheedy wouldn't be going anywhere.
If you have Cody is going to go away tomorrow, and you didn't tell us tonight.
What I mean is, you're looking around the managers with track records. Mm. Derek McGrath has taken the Leash minor hurlers. Like, you're looking around, who are the managers around that might be available who've won anything? Like, Matty Kenny won a couple of Club All-Irelands with Coola, and he's from Galway, but he's tied with Dublin. There aren't many options out there unless you're taking a punt on someone.
There's also, I think, with this Wexford job, and he's done such a brilliant job in a change in attitude towards Davy Fitzgerald, that it's not the wildness and the outsider. He's very much now, you know, you're almost guaranteed success with him.
Yeah, especially early on. He seems to make an instant impact. I know he did win the Leinster in his third season with Wexford, but he made a huge impact in his first season as well. Like, they got the Leinster final. They got huge momentum and support, and there was colour around them, and there was a real buzz. Like, I was down there, I think I told you the story before, and I met Lee Chin's mother on the street and all this. It was a very odd...
What happened with Lee Chin's mother on the street?
Did I tell you this?
It's another exclusive.
No, we heard this before.
Yeah,
right?
I told you this before. I don't want to repeat myself. But anyway, just very quickly, we're driving around Wexford trying to get some colour and something. You go, what the hell to do? So we went up to Wiltown Villas, where Lee Chin is from. Billy Walsh is from there as well. And just stopped this mother, woman, said, do you know where Lee Chin lives or where Wiltown Villas is? I can't remember. And she said, oh, I'm Lee Chin's granny. So she said, go and get his mother. So the mother came down. She was great crack. The two of them were great crack. They took photos, talked to them. And then she said, I'll go up and get Lee. And I said, no, he'll be up resting. I've been in Leinster final a couple of days. Davy will kill me. So no, let Lee go.
I've always wondered about this. Was Kieran lurking around shady multi-storey car park waiting for Deep Throat to give him some hot tip? Or did someone ring him up and go, here, Kieran, Davy's on the N17 from Paddy?
No.
Hi, lads. If Davy takes the Galway job, it'll be his fourth job as manager at inter-county level. Is that a record? Says Kieran in Cork.
In hurling? Well, Justin McCarthy would have a few, wouldn't he? Justin was in Clare, Cork.
Waterford.
Did he manage Antrim or coach Antrim? He coached Antrim. I'm not sure. Did he manage Antrim?
Did Babs have a couple?
Babs was in Offaly before he was deposed in 98. He was in Tip, was he? Somewhere else. Cyril Farrell was in Wexford. He was in Galway. I think it's just the two. I can't think of anyone. Just McCarthy, possibly, but I can't think of anyone else.
Saw that poster behind Richie. Why is Nathan in a Kerry jersey from Conservative Pete?
That's the most positive comparison you've ever heard.
Me and the Bomber.
Yeah, I know the Bomber. And you're quite tall, but you're not Bomber.
No,
you're not in the
not
Bomber
quite.
League. No.
Babs had
quite.
Four. Just have to give it there.
Who is it?
Galway. Galway, Tip, Leash, Offaly. And then back to Tip again.
Oh yeah, it was Leash, of course.
There you go.
53106 is the text number. We're live on all our social channels, as always. If you have any comments, where are you starting, Richie?
We'll start with news out of Sweden this afternoon. Republic of Ireland under-21 manager Stephen Kenny was hospitalised there. The FAI say he became unwell on the way home from his side's 3-1 win away to their Swedish counterparts on Tuesday night. Following examination by the FAI medical staff, it was decided that Kenny stay in Sweden for treatment at a local hospital. A statement from the FAI says Kenny expects to be discharged in the coming days, and he's looking forward to the rest of the qualification campaign.
Yeah, look, it's obviously very worrying news, but I don't think there's anything to be gained from speculating or...
No, I wouldn't like to be getting into it. Like, just obviously everybody hopes he recovers very quickly and gets home to his family very quickly. And
being discharged in the coming days, and that he expects is kind of a positive spin.
Like, even when you're in hospital for a different country, it's worrying for the family. So I just think they'd be glad to get him home soon.
Yeah, and he does have young kids as well. So as you say, obviously a worry for them. And I'm sure when he is back in Ireland, we'll hear further information.
Mike Quirk is poised to be named the next Laois senior football manager. The four-time All-Ireland winner with Kerry is the preferred candidate of the Amurs County Selection Committee. Former Kerryman John Sugar stepped down in July after their round four qualifier exit to Cork. It's believed the Laois County Board are yet to meet with the selection committee to discuss Quirk's candidacy, but that is believed to be a formality and ratification could come as soon as Monday.
Did he include it in his contract that he'll still be on Off the Ball on Thursday night? Like, what the hell are we meant to do?
What did James Horan do? At the door, we haven't seen him.
Change his number for starters, I think. Yeah. It's the only thing I can...
He doesn't answer my text either.
Doesn't answer my text either, that's fine.
Do you blame him?
Forget to his friends.
All I wanted was two tickets, come on, bloody hell!
What's happening with Laois? Like, Laois now have three of the most high-profile managers, Eddie Brennan, Mike Quirk and Derek McGrath.
Well, Derek McGrath was on suggesting that he's maybe not exactly the Laois minor manager. He's involved in coaching and it's maybe linked in with the college course he's doing.
But even still.
Even still. Still three high-profile appointments. Mm. So.
They do love a high-profile appointment in Laois, it has to be said.
Oh, yeah, back in the day, didn't they? What was his name again?
Helicopters.
Yeah.
We might be getting a helicopter up. We'll need to get him on and ask him.
Will Mike be getting a helicopter? I doubt it very much.
You never know. Go on, Richie. You wanted this to be your top story.
Should have been. A massive Dublin derby is in the offing in the semi-finals of the FAI Cup. The draw was made this morning. And should Bohemians beat Crumlin United on Monday night at Inchicore, they'll welcome Shamrock Rovers to Daly Man Park. That game will be played on Friday, September 27th. It'll have a 7:45 kickoff. While holders Dundalk were drawn away to Sligo Rovers. And that tie will be played at the Showgrounds on Sunday the 29th and will have a 5 p.m. start.
I saw among the Bulgaria fans the other night, there was one wearing a away Bulls jersey.
I'm not surprised. In the Bulgaria fans?
Yeah, among the Bulgarian. Like, there was only a tiny pocket of them at the...
Could well have had a crew over. Although, that said, they're playing England on Saturday, so I don't want...
Maybe he just lives in Dublin.
Yeah.
Goes and watches Bulls. Definite possibility.
Could have caught them playing Airdrie up in Scotland in the Caramel Wafer Challenge Cup.
So, should Bohemians beat Crumlin? And, how we would laugh, Richie.
Stop it now.
How we would
Stop
laugh.
It now. Don't.
Should Bohemians be crumbling? Are tickets going to be difficult to get?
Yeah. That, like, the pretty much every Bowes, a lot of Bowes home games full stop have sold out this year in advance.
There's no possibility with Bowes, because we've had this debate before.
Go on.
It's seen as a success story that Bohemians are selling out their games, whereas actually part of the reason is that three quarters of the ground
is unusable. Yeah.
There's no possibility, no matter what happens, that they can open other sections.
Safety-wise, the Connaught Street side and the Fisbury Shopping Centre side are closed off. So there's not, like, they haven't got safety certificates for them, so they can't open them no matter
what.
So what
would the capacity be for that if they did play Rovers?
I think it's north of 3,000, 3,500, something like that. But I think for security reasons, they might close off a couple of bits as well on the Des Kelly stand, so... We'll see. But either way, sell out. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere and sense prevailing that it'd be on the Friday night and not the Sunday afternoon as well.
Random critical text of the night. An early shout for this. I'm sure there'll be more to come.
Lovely. Come on.
John Myler didn't slate Martin O'Neill in his interview, so no doubt Off the Ball won't promote the interview too much. Doesn't fit in with their anti-O'Neill agenda, says Joan Kerry.
John Myler?
I presume it was David Myler who he's referring to, who... didn't have any issue with Martin O'Neill at all, or Roy Keane. I was very happy with the Irish manager.
Sorry, he said Off the Ball had an anti-Roy Keane agenda.
We have an anti-O'Neill agenda.
Oh, anti-O'Neill agenda, okay.
Even now.
Okay. No, 5 million views, we've no anti-Roy Keane agenda. It's kind of our saviour. Our entire business model.
They're all there for you, Nathan. They're all there for you.
Thanks, Richie.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Did we have an anti-O'Neill agenda? I don't think anyone particularly enjoyed those last few months.
Agenda, but I think it was clear it's clear from his last year. It was the end. You know, when you haven't won a game, you scored two goals in a year, was it?
Yeah, we're unbeaten in 2019. I think that's the stat that we should just hang out there as a defense.
Yeah, but the strange thing is, all the results so far under Mick McCarthy are results that you could imagine at their best under O'Neill they would have got.
Well, here's one, and I brought this up at the match the last night. Have Ireland under Mick McCarthy played as well as Ireland under Martin O'Neill at their very best?
No.
No.
No, definitely not.
It was a complicated question, so it didn't get to air.
Yeah,
I saved it till now.
Yeah,
you're better off with Stewie's jokes.
But I don't think they're quite of the same quality of personnel. Like, I think, you know, you've lost. James McCarthy's only come back.
You basically lost Robbie Brady and James McCarthy.
And Wes Hoolan is the big one. Wes Hoolan made such a difference that team when he was there.
To play, yeah. Speaking of potential call-ups, Tottenham manager Mauricio Pochettino has urged fans to be patient with the progress of Troy Parrott. There have been renewed calls for the 17-year-old to be handed a Premier League debut following his brace for the Ireland under-21s in Sweden this week. Spurs, of course, without summer signing Giovanni Lo Celso until next month due to a hip injury. But Pochettino, speaking this afternoon, says fans shouldn't put undue pressure on Parrott.
I think he needs time. He needs time and we need to be relaxed. I think we cannot put him the name every day in the spotlight, because I think we are not going to help him. Of course, he's still so young, and in the best way to help him is to be calm and relaxed about him. If he's going to be involved sometime, perfect. If he's not going to be involved, he's going to be involved with under 23, perfect. If sometimes going to train with us, good. I think now it's a process that he needs to be relaxed. If we put too much pressure, we are going to force or to push him to make a mistake, and that is what we don't want.
It did mean that the third goal against Sweden was repeated 100 times on Sky Sports News today.
Was it really?
Yeah, Pochettino's come back to that when he was asked about, you know, fans and social media being, you know, exceptionally happy and, you know, delighted that they have this prospect coming through. And he's like, yeah, well, fans were nice about when there was a Twitter video going around of me scoring in training. So we should temper these things.
Smacking him down to earth. We will be talking to Troy Parrott's Ireland under-21 teammate Conor Masterson on the football show from 9 o'clock.
A Premier League referees chief, Mike Riley, has admitted that 4 mistakes have already been made using VAR this season. Video technology is in place in the English top flight for the first time during this campaign, and Riley has been explaining today how the mistakes arose.
A combination of factors, and that's the fascinating thing as this project evolves, that we're constantly learning as we do things. So on occasion it was a judgment decision that the VAR made, one it was a process mistake, and on others it was looking at trying to protect the high bar that we want to not disrupt the flow of the game. But on these two occasions, actually, the judgment should have been that the high bar had been crossed. It was a clear and obvious error, and the VAR could have advised the referee of that.
Did they give the 4 examples?
They didn't specify what they were, but there Riley was basically saying how the mistakes were made, which, you know, if you're an aggrieved manager and one of the high-profile instances you might have been thinking about is among those, like, It's an era when there's so much money at stake that referees admitting, or the referee chiefs admitting, that there have been mistakes is a dangerous road, I would imagine, for them to go down. Because the thing I was thinking of today was the Mascherano-Tevez situation when they were at West Ham, and ultimately they shouldn't have really been there given the third-party ownership situation, and Sheffield United were relegated kind of as a partial consequence. Like, you're leaving yourself open to admitting culpability for mistakes that could cost clubs in the millions. Like, they mightn't.
It's also unnecessarily negative. Yeah. How many decisions did they get right? Mm. How many decisions that otherwise may have been missed did they actually get spot on?
But even still, this is supposed to be seen as a foolproof
thing. Is it?
Used right, yeah.
Yeah. But it is giving more ammunition to the anti-VAR brigade, which is quite big anyway. And so if they're admitting already after a few weeks that mistakes have been made, people are going to be more calls. I'll get rid of this.
Is there a crossover between anti-vaxxers and anti-VARs?
There probably is. But I don't think anti-VAR people are as stupid as anti-vaxxers.
You should leave the last decision with the referee, like it was at the World Cup, I think.
Yeah.
Like, if they should contact them and say there is an issue and get the referee to go over.
Well, they had this in the Bundesliga, and they brought in at the start of the first season in the Bundesliga a similar idea of not using the TV on the side of the pitch, that actually they would go with VAR, and they quickly decided that wasn't the way forward, because so many decisions already this season that, so it needs to be a clear and obvious error. So if there is a little bit of contact and the referee says to VAR, I've seen a little bit of contact, I don't think it's a penalty, and they go, okay, there was a little bit of contact, it's not a clear and obvious error. Where actually, if he goes over and looks and has a second chance to just see it, I think we did a game between Newcastle and Spurs where the Newcastle defender Lascelles fell over and he sort of stuck his arm out across Harry Kane, didn't give a penalty. You can understand why VAR didn't overturn it, but I did think if he looked back in the video, he would see that actually Lascelles threw his arm out to block him.
Yeah.
But, and what does it do? Delay it by another minute if you get the right decision. Speaking of John Myler, he managed Kerry, Wexford, Carlow and Cork in hurling.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan, what were you thinking when you were bowling to Roy Keane?
I watched that today, actually.
At that stage, I was having an out-of-body experience. So. Yeah. Roy thoroughly enjoyed that. And Gary Neville took up hurling very well.
Natural.
Well, he was like a goalkeeper. It was like clearances rather than shooting. Yeah.
No, there was no accuracy at all.
No.
Even still, though, to make any contact at all.
But underarm bowling is the devil's work. Like, I couldn't.
You think I should have gone to Roy Keane?
A few googlies, a few fast balls.
They were plastic balls. Luckily for me, because all I was thinking was he's going to hit this straight at me.
Well, they were plastic balls because he was.
No, they were soft balls, yeah.
And the Schlitter, was that plastic? Because he said it was very light.
They were all very light plastic balls.
Because they like tampering with their balls.
Not insane.
This isn't rude.
Stop it now.
They had a habit of tampering with balls in Cork, with hurling balls, Schlitters.
Oh, really?
This was a Cork thing. This was a Cork thing a few years ago. Remember that?
Dipping them in water.
And smuggling. Remember Diarmaid O'Sullivan smuggled a ball down his shorts for when they got
just
a penalty and he was running up because they had their preferred Schlitter and they were trying to change the Schlitter to their preferred one for the penalty.
This is some Mike Atherton stuff here. Yeah.
If we broaden out the conversation around well-travelled managers and switch codes to association football, as John Paul likes to call it, how many national sides do you think Rudi Gutendorf managed? Rudi Gutendorf.
Is he one of those German guys that managed about 10 African countries?
Always wears a white shirt, very tanned.
Kind of Bon Jovi haircut.
His management career lasted 53 years and he took in 17 national manager jobs.
Jesus.
Chile, Bolivia, Venezuela, Trinidad and Tobago, Grenada, Antigua, Botswana, Australia, New Caledonia, Nepal, Tonga, Tanzania, Ghana, Nepal again, but we're not counting that, Fiji, Zimbabwe, Mauritius and Rwanda. And he also took charge of the Iranian and Chinese Olympic teams in 1988 and 1992.
That was almost an animaniac.
How did he not end up in Ireland?
Did Joe Kinnear not manage Nepal? Or did he manage a team in Nepal? I think he did, because there's a famous interview with the guy, Harry Harris, who used to be in the Mirror, but he had a habit of mangling the English language, and his intro was sitting in Joe Kinnear's office.
Joe Kinnear did too, to be fair.
Sitting in Joe Kinnear's office overlooking Mount Everest.
He did. Yeah. 1987.
Yeah,
he was in charge of
Nepal. Joe Kinnear.
He managed India.
Yeah.
He managed, his managerial career was assistant manager at Al-Shabaab, manager of India, manager of Nepal, caretaker at Doncaster.
What about the Dublin Dons?
Dublin Dons. What could have been?
Competition time to celebrate the opening of the impressive new clubhouse at Farnham Estate Spa and Golf Resort in Cavan. We're giving one lucky listener the chance to win a year's golf membership for this wonderful Par 72 Parkland course. To be given a chance of winning, just tell us who is the current captain of the European Solheim Cup team. Text your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We'll announce the winner before the end of the show. For more details on membership and golfing breaks at Farnham Estate Spa and Golf Resort, see farnhamestate.ie.
Get it out of the way. Go on.
Momentous day, Richie.
Get it out of the way.
Live Golf Weekly.
Brilliant.
1 o'clock every Thursday.
It's nice to see
live.
You.
Live. No edits.
Yeah, very
just
good.
Live.
Oh, I saw
right out there.
No edits.
Watch, you tuned in.
I saw a bit today with Fionn and Joe. That was live, wasn't it?
Was live.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that was actually live on air.
Could have done with it.
You can still get the podcast, though.
You haven't edited it since.
Offtheball.com. No, it was all good. We had Stephanie Meadow on, looking ahead to the Solheim Cup, which gets underway tomorrow. We're also asking this question.
Oh, no.
So, Rory McIlroy won the PGA Tour Player of the Year. He won three events, two big events, the Players' Championship and the Tour Championship. He won $28 million, I think it was, over the course of the year. Would he swap his year for Shane Lowry's year?
Yeah, I think so. See, it's not about money
100%.
For now, is it? Yeah, of course he would.
Fionn Davenport wasn't so sure.
No? Well, it depends. Basically, you're saying he's far more motivated by money, if you think that. It's not like he's short of a few bob anyway.
No.
So...
I don't know, there's even little things yesterday. They showed the presentation of the Jack Nicklaus Award on the PGA Tour's website. And he was in conversation with Nicklaus just at a table. It was actually quite nice. They surprised him, brought it out. And he was genuinely saying he has goosebumps being awarded this award for the third time. And it seemed really genuine. And you kind of watch that and you think, yeah, maybe he actually would have liked to have that huge one moment. Because he's a good player. He probably would have had the 14 top 10s anyway. But I think he would have liked to have that pinnacle moment during the year.
He's a good player. Yeah, you should be on the golf podcast. Good player. He's a good player, Rory McIlroy.
Busy.
Insightful analysis like that is what we're looking for. What about the golf today, Richie?
Gavin Moynihan bested the Irish in 2 under par as the opening day of the KLM Open draws to a close. In fact, it is now over. He's 4 off the lead of England's Callum Shinquin. Padraig Harrington and Paul Dunne both 1 under par, while Michael Hoey ended the day on 3 over. A difficult enough day for England in the 5th Ashes test, the first day thereof at the Oval. Australia reduced them for 271 for 8 at the close of play after deciding to bowl first there. Both Regan Buckley and Wayne Kelly lost their last 64 bouts by split decision at the World Elite Boxing Championships in Russia today. Brave fighter Buckley lost his lightweight contest to Indonesia's Aldam Sukar, while light welterweight Kelly lost out to Matthew Alexander of Trinidad and Tobago. And Kim Clijsters has announced a comeback to competitive tennis 8 years after retiring for the second time. The four-time Grand Slam winner last played in the second round of the US Open in 2012, where she was beaten by Laura Robson. Clijsters turned 36 in June, but she released a slick video today announcing her intended return.
What do I really want from life? For the past 7 years, I've been a full-time mom, and I love it. I really, really do.
Jada, can you stop? Oatmeal met snottebellen.
Yeah, pack him.
But I also love being a professional tennis player.
Kim Clijsters lets the emotions run free.
And honestly, I miss that feeling. So, what if I tried to do both?
Are you thinking about a comeback, Kim, by any chance?
Could I be a loving mom to my 3 kids and the best tennis player I can possibly be? Let's do this. Let's come back one more time.
See you in 2020.
Ah, Kim, come on, be honest. 3 kids are wrecking your head. You're just looking to get away for a few months.
Hang out with John McEnroe.
There's a bang of documentary off the whole thing, to be honest. Like, that video and the bits that go along with it suggest that this is actually part of something.
It's like a reality TV thing, following her journey back.
It looks like it, but she seems like a decent skin, and best luck to her.
How far do you think she can go? Like, what's realistic?
Do you know what?
The end of the documentary.
Do you know what?
Gets away Wimbledon quarterfinal.
Top 50 isn't probably beyond the realms of like, depending on what kind of shape she gets herself into. I don't think being inside the top 50 is beyond the pale for her.
All right. Thanks a lot, Richie. Kieran, thank you.
Cheers.
As well. Yeah. Great exclusive. More to come tomorrow.
Yeah, left 3 or 4 exclusives tomorrow as usual.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. All right, football show. We're going to have Shane Duffy and Conor Masterson. Kevin Cassidy looking ahead to the All-Ireland final. Derek Daly remembering his Formula One career. And John Giles is in studio next.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.